going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. We are previewing MLB teams on Mean Streets lately, and we are previewing one of the best teams in baseball with one of the best guys in the industry. It's David Jones joining me right now to talk about the Atlanta Braves. Give him a follow at Tenacious D Jones. He's going to be a big part of our MLB DFS package over at FTN. This guy has got screenshots when it comes to NBA, NFL, MLB. He's rocking the Braves jersey. I see Braves balls, I think, signed in the background. Last time you and I were on air, you had a Hank Aaron bat. Where's that? Yeah. You got that handy? Let's see that. Let's show the people here what you got there.
And I appreciate you saying the Braves are one of the best teams in baseball. That is quite accurate. I do like the hype. The Hank Aaron autograph lumber. There it is.
Look at that. That just is nice.
Accumulating value over here in the corner by my old Hulk Hogan, if you can see him back there. Oh, he's not there anymore. He fell. My old Hulk Hogan plush toy from when I was like 5 years old. That's accumulating value too.
Listen, when I was about 5 years old, my old man was a big Montreal Expos fan, so he did not like the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, it's warranted, right? You had Glavin and Maddox and Smoltz and Chipper. All you did is win ball games, and he was just jealous. So I grew up thinking that I didn't like the Braves. And then over the past few years, I just have an absolute man crush for this team. Like, they're not my squad. They're your squad, obviously, but they just have so many amazing players on this team. And I've been referencing NFBC ADP for those playing in high stake leagues. We had Matty Wood come on here and talk about his strategy when it comes to drafting and just up and down there. I mean, Ronald Acuna, ADP one. So he can be the first pick. He's a lock for 30-30. If he plays 130 games, he can push 40-40. You've seen it before. Freddie Freeman going in the first round as well. NL MVP, slash line 341, 462, 640 last year. 73 hits, fourth in baseball. Ozzie Albies, stud, ADP 34. Marcelo Zuna, stud, right? Second in hits, 18 home runs, brought him back. Like, this team is absolutely loaded. What did you make of their offseason? Few new arms inside the rotation. I guess that's the only weak link, I suppose, they have, right? I mean, there's not a lot of weak links. They're 11-1 to win the World Series, David.
Well, the thing about the Atlanta Braves and as fans of baseball, everyone knew last year going into it that we needed help with pitching, but Snitaker didn't go out and sign the big names. He just kind of works with what he has and who he can pull up. And last year, you'd be surprised to know, even though we were one game away from the World Series, God bless, still hurts, we had the third worst ERA with our starting pitching in the league last year. And that's I attribute a lot of our success to our bats. And then the up-and-comers like Soroka and Ian Anderson came in and did very, very well. As far as the offseason goes this year, we didn't have to do anything with bats. It was great to get Azuna back. He was third in home runs last year in the entire league. I mean, the guy just crushes. Our bats, I would argue, it's the best bats in baseball. I really don't see many gaps to say that it's not. I mean, you can go and look at the Dodgers. And of course, their stack, you know, respected them. They went out and won the World Series. But you've got Acuna leading off. I mean, this is the projected lineup. Acuna, then Albies hitting second. Freddie Freeman, NL MVP. Azuna, third in home runs, which I just referenced. Travis d'Arnaud, who really came on strong when we needed him late last year. Dansby Swanson, who I think is just the glue of this team. He can do everything. He can hit homers. He was like mid of the pack for home runs in the team last season. He can steal bases. He can get on base. He can get RBIs. He can cross the plate. You have Austin Riley, who is a lot of people are touting as a breakout star. He is a big power hitter, not so much an average hitter. And then you have Christian Pache, who is getting like Acuna level hype coming out or as the rookie for the Braves this year. Now, I like him a lot, more so for his defense in center field. But I mean, his bat's also something, you know, that we'll talk about, too. I'm not going to say it's Acuna level elite, but I'm not going to say it couldn't get close to it.
Yeah, there's a lot of hype. I mean, his defense is awesome. So when the bat catches up to the defense, I think we're going to see, you know, a star in the making. I over at the Athletic, I don't know if you're familiar with the game Out of the Park Baseball. It's a sim game, and we all took a team, and I was assigned the Braves, and I rolled. You don't have to do much. You don't play the game. You can play the game if you want, but it's basically you're just the manager. You put guys in against lefties, you put them in against righties, right? And you just manage the rotation. It is a fun game, but all of these studs that you just alluded to, plus Anderson called him up, you know, to pitch in the bigs down the stretch. I think the Braves ended up losing in the World Series, but they were right there with a lot of these arms that I wanted to talk about, like Wilson and Tuki Toussaint, Kyle Wright, yeah. Ian Anderson, the up and coming, right? Freed, awesome. And then all of these bats, you mentioned Pache, another guy who, you know, ADP 413. So not getting drafted in your average draft, but I think a deep flyer. We'll talk about him in a little bit. You mentioned Riley. I wanted to bring him up, and I saw some good things in the postseason from him as well, and just spurts over the past couple of seasons. You mentioned the Dodgers. I mean, they rolled through, what, the Reds? They took care of the Reds. They took care of Miami pretty easily, and they were up 2-0 on the Dodgers. And I know this is tough to bring back up again, but they won 7 straight postseason games before losing in 7 to the Dodgers. But they were right there. They lost to the best. So, I mean, there's something that has to be said for losing to the best. 11-1 to win the World Series, plus 550 to win the NL pennant, plus 140 to win the NL East, 91.5 the win total. I think maybe to, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe to take that next step would be some of these kids taking their next step. And Austin Riley, ADP 212 over at NFBC. There's a wide range of outcomes, Jonesy, as min pick 146, max 394. I took him in the Great Baseball Invitational 254. I thought that was terrific value. I thought about him a couple rounds before. I was thrilled when he fell. So 503 plate appearances, 26 homers, 232 average. The strikeout rate, small sample size last year, but it was much better, right? Guy who can really hit lefties. What's the ceiling for him? What are you looking for him again in what would be, what, his second full season in the bigs? I guess we could really even call it his first full season. We're 297 to 206. This guy's going to flirt with maybe 600 plate appearances this year. What are your expectations for him?
Yeah, so Austin Riley, like we said, could be a breakout hitter, and I like the way that you put it, that he kind of hits in spurts. So it's going to be really his full first season. If you don't, because we had a weird shortened season last year. He came up the year before that and just like, I don't remember the exact number, but just like hammered like
fire.
7 or 8 homers in like a month and then completely fell off and lost his spot in the batting rotation. So I said it earlier, it's a power guy. Like, as far as your season long drafts, I think he might be going a little bit high. It depends on what you're being graded on in your fantasy leagues. Like, if you're looking for a batting average, I think he might be going a little bit high for that. But in like a DFS setting, like, he's a guy that you can play, you know, when he's in a good spot and he can get the ball, you know, out of the park. He's a home run hitter. He's a power hitter. And the thing about him too, like with DFS or fantasy, the lineup in front of him is just going to be amazing. He's projected to hit 8th in the lineup, and right above him would be Dansby Swanson, who gets on base, Travis d'Arnaud, depending on the day, Ozuna, Freeman, Albies, Acuna. So like, there's going to be people on the base. So you're looking for him to get those RBIs. You're looking for him to get the home runs, and he certainly has the power to do it. And as we know, with watching a lot of these power hitters kind of grow in front of our eyes, that once you get a, you know, some of the big leagues under your belt, then you can turn it on. And they do have him projected, or I've seen just around the internet, different sites, is, you know, a top 10 guy to look out for as a breakout star. I like him. I love him in the 8th spot in the batting order. I said it again, the lineup's just absolutely stacked. But as far as like, you know, like I said, your average home fantasy drafts might be going just a little bit high for a guy batting 8th. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I do. And yeah, you're spot on with the average, but the power has been on display. I remember when he got called up, and in season long, he was a hot commodity. He was a big waiver wire pickup. People were spending fab on trying to get him. Again, a guy that just really does have his way with lefties, and there's going to be lots of opportunity for RBI, as you mentioned. So in the DFS community, when there's a lefty on the hill, a southpaw, I think we get involved with Austin Riley and this entire lineup, right? I mean, Freeman is a career 300 hitter, coming off a phenomenal season, as we alluded to earlier. And then Ozuna, who gives him a little bit of balance. He's that one guy that I think, you know, he's great against righties too. So he's great in that four spot. There's no holes in the first four hitters. There's zero holes. You mentioned Swanson. He's a big talking point in the fantasy industry as well, because steals are, they're hard to come by for one. So if you're playing in a roto league, you want to be able to have some steals. ADP, he's one of the, actually the biggest risers. I've been taking ADP, looking at it over the past 4 weeks where drafts are really starting to ramp up here, just a couple weeks away before first pitch. So Swanson's 105 ADP, but he was like 140 6 weeks ago. So he is starting to get a lot of buzz. He's got, you know, the steals are there. The 10 stolen bases in 2018, 2019, had five in just the 60 games last season. FanGraphs, depending on where you look for projections, ATC is one I like to look at the most. 23 homers, 12 stolen bases, a 256 average. Think that's fair projections? Do you think that maybe asking for 15 stolen bases is too much, or 25 home runs is too much? And the 274 average that he had last year, small sample, can he get back up there, or is he just a 250 hitter?
He had a great season, and he's one of those guys that I think is going to continue to grow too. So I think it's going to be his fifth season. His first season, he did fine. His second season, he had a bit of a sophomore slump. Third season, started playing better, and then in the shortened season, really played phenomenally. He had 10 home runs in the shortened season, 274, like you said, 35 RBIs. And one stat that really stands out to me, why I would even draft him higher than the 105, like, I'm not sure he's caught up yet. He's batting six with the stacked lineup, but he led the National League in at-bats last year. So if you can pick up a guy who's getting the most at-bats in the National League, now, is he going to do that again? I mean, hopefully. I don't know. It seems like one of those things that's kind of, you know, in the balance, but he's a guy that doesn't tend to get hurt. And I mean, like I said earlier, kind of just the glue to this team, kind of like the Chipper Jones for this decade for the Braves. I like him a lot. I would take him higher than 105 just because he does a little bit of everything, man. And he's also a guy, he's just kind of got that look in his eye. Like, you can see it now. Like, he is not the guy that usually loses the game for the Braves. Like, he'll do his job. He'll get on base. He'll hit it through the gap. He can hit the home runs. Everyone on this lineup can hit home runs, but Dansby Swanson, guy I like a lot. And really, like, I remember even last season, I want to say he was the player of the month, 1 month in the shortened season. I could be wrong.
Awesome. Yeah.
But for that kind of production and the kind of points that he can throw up really on a nightly basis in a hitter's park in Atlanta with that great weather for longer than we had last year, I like Dansby Swanson just a ton.
Yeah, good call on that weather as well. At the fly ball rate has jumped up the past couple of years up to 38.6. The line drive rate it's elite. It's really solid. You know, 23% in 2017. Then the down year, I think you talked about, was still at 20%, but last year 24% and 25%. So he's squaring up the baseball. He's making contact. And I didn't know that about the plate appearances and the at-bats, but he's never had 600 in his career. So if we can give him 600, 650, right, all those other stats are going to pile up. I think he's in for a career year. I think he's going to get to 20 home runs. I think he could get to 15 stolen bases. And the lineup, as you mentioned, very, very, very strong. Christian Pache, 413 ADP, not a lot of power. Had the home run in the postseason, I believe, against the Dodgers. Moved up the ranks very quickly, very, very quickly, like single A ball, double A, triple A, all in what, 2 years, Jones? 2 years? Yep. Pretty remarkable stuff. We could temper expectations, right? It's another high prospect that the Braves have had. They've had a lot of these guys, and we're starting to see them now, like him. What do you think would be a great season in your eyes from Pache?
I like how the Braves are still kind of being coy. Like, if Pache, you know, makes the opening day roster, he's in there. He should be coming in batting ninth. I, you know, I like him a lot. We talked about like the bat. The bat is good. I don't know that it is absolutely elite. And as far as elite, I mean Acuna, it's better than average, clearly better than average. In the minor league, he hit .283, 21 home runs, 191 RBIs with a 734 OPS. But he's coming in batting ninth for the Braves, which I don't love. That doesn't mean that it's there for the entire season, right? He can move around depending on how well he does. Ozzie Albies, quite frankly, can move down. As we saw last season, he would be the – I'm not absolutely in love with him batting second, just for the record. We can talk about that too if we want. But, yeah, like I said, I mean, he's got the stuff clearly. Other teams have tried to snag him. Snit's not letting him go. He's going to come in and be a – he legit could be a gold glove contender this first year. But as far as like as far as his average draft position that you mentioned earlier, what was it, four something?
Oh, he's 404 roughly. Like, he's not getting drafted, but in deeper leagues where you know, there's 15 teams, 30 rounds, I mean, I think it's worth a flyer. I don't want to say anything's going to happen injury wise, but if anything did happen, right, this is a guy who would maybe move up the lineup. The Albies thing at two is interesting. There's been a lot of conversations about how would you have the lineup?
How would I, if I was the manager of the Braves, what would I do? All right, let's see.
What would you do?
I like Swanson probably batting two. I'd probably flip Swanson and Albies. Albies did not have a good year last year. He just didn't. I mean, it's not what you expected. He's got the name. But I mean, he came in there and had some duds, like more than not last season, I would say, especially in big spots. So, maybe he's having a great spring. I mean, he only had six home runs last season, but he was dealing with injury at the beginning. I just didn't like what I saw, but he could have been getting more healthy. I would go Acuna probably, Swanson two, Freeman three, Ozuna four. That's going to be hard to beat. Maybe bump Riley up to six from eight. Travis d'Arnaud down at eight. Albies seven, maybe something like that. I don't know. Then we'll see how Pache does. But and then you have Jake Lamb too, who we haven't mentioned, but they brought over as well, who's got a bat.
And I was looking this morning and I saw Jake Lamb, and I must have missed that they got him through free agency, who's a nice bat that they can just, I mean, it's Inciarte too has, you know, shown signs as well. It must be nice, Jones. It must be nice to have all of these options up and down the lineup. And as you know, when we were doing DFS shows last year to start the season, this lineup started very cold, right? Acuna was in and out. He was struggling. Albies, you mentioned. Freeman was the one constant. I guess Ozuna as well. The two guys were just the mainstays that were just bringing it every single day. And then they started to heat up, and then they went on just an unbelievable run and then into the postseason. Let's talk about the pitching before we get you out of here. Max Fried, absolute stud. So like a lot of these guys, again, we're not talking about the ballers because they have four guys that are going inside the top 40 in terms of picks. Albies, Ozuna, Freeman, Acuna. Fried is the first pitcher off the board, ADP 70. He's roughly a top 20 pitcher, I think, who's got top 15 at least upside. What do you make of the rest of the rotation? You bring in Morton as a guy who's always been able to eat up innings. Ian Anderson is going to have his first full season in the bigs. I loved what I saw from him in the postseason. Drew Smyly has shown upside as well. And then you have a couple guys who they were great in that out of the park baseball sim game, but I don't know in real life if they can put it all together. You got Kyle Wright in there, Sean Newcomb, Wilson, Tuki Toussaint, a lot of these guys. But let's just start with, I think, the guy who has the most upside, Ian Anderson. What have you seen that you like from him? Obviously, he needs to clean up the command, but you can say that about any young pitcher, Jones.
Yeah, and like I mentioned earlier in the show, Braves had the third worst ERA in starting pitching last year, which is very bad and surprising. I was surprised to hear that stat earlier today when I was doing research. So what the Braves are looking at with their starting rotation is going to be Max Fried, Charlie Morton, Soroka when he gets back. But until then, Ian Anderson, Drew Smyly, Kyle Wright. Kyle Wright's probably the odd man out, right? Okay. So Charlie Morton, 37 years old, $15 million to play this year for the Braves. An elite pitcher. Like, people will say he's good, better than average. He's still pretty elite. If you look at what he did last season, he had a bad game that kind of ruined his ERA for the entire season because he got lit up the first game. 37 years old, That's somewhat of a concern, I guess, but he seems to still have the stuff. He's throwing 96 in spring, looking good. The last game they played, he had three quality innings. He's looking fine. He's an elite pitcher, right? And he got kind of unlucky, as I alluded to, with the first game last season. He had a 1.5 lower FIP than his ERA, so that kind of alludes to the unluckiness. But then in the postseason, he did great, 2.7 ERA, and he was going up against the Astros, the Dodgers, and the Yankees. So he's a guy that they brought over that wasn't being pursued probably as much as he should have been. And he was coming kind of out of a wonky rotation too. You know, what they would do over in Tampa Bay, and I give them credit, Tampa Bay, for how they used their pitchers. They got all the way to the World Series and get completely trashed by pulling Snell in that last game, which I'll go on a bit of a tangent. It worked for him the entire season. It got him there. They got ripped apart too much for that. But at the same time, like, Snell was dealing. So they probably could have left him in a little bit more, but I like Morton coming over for the starters. It's just a piece that seems to fit. It's going to lower that ERA, I think, for the Atlanta Braves this season. So I like him, especially as, you know, right behind Soroka and Fried. Great.
Soroka, too. Awesome. Love that guy. I think, you know, in the fantasy community and season long, people want to they talk about strikeouts just a little bit too much. And yeah, we like strikeouts, but the pitches that he has in his arsenal are just phenomenal. Keeps the ball on the ground. I'm a big Soroka guy, and it has nothing to do with him being Canadian. Maybe a little bit, just kidding. But stud, again, another great piece that this team has. Charlie Morton, I think, is a great target in drafts. I think he gets overlooked every year. Even after his first season in Houston, he got overlooked completely, and that was kind of his coming out party when he left. He spent some time with Pittsburgh, and then I believe he spent like a minute with the Phillies. But his coming out party in 2017, the double digit K per nine, and he got overlooked. He didn't even really get drafted, and then nobody thought he could follow up and carry that over in 2018. He was a great value, and he did. He had even a better season, and then the season with the Rays, both of them. Strong seasons. Again, the ERA, I think, is a guy who could be sub four. I think he can get you 10 K per nine. You know, the walks could be sub three. And just a guy, again, who just is steady and you know what you're getting with him. Yeah, concerning maybe long-term with the age, but it's just they're a win-now team. So you want to bring in a guy that you can to, like you said, maybe to carry a few innings before Soroka comes. What do you think about Ian Anderson?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Soroka coming back too. He was dealing with that Achilles, but he's young. He should heal up fine and come back and just be a stud. Ian Anderson, technically, is going to be his rookie season. He came in dealing in the playoffs and in the regular season, only had six starts, 1.95 ERA, which is unsustainable in the six starts, I guess, unless he's, the best pitcher in the history of baseball, but that should regress. And then in the postseason, a 0.69 ERA, which is clearly unsustainable. He just came in and absolutely shoved it. He looked great, right, when he was up in the majors, but when he was in the minor leagues, he wasn't that fantastic. Like, he was maybe a little below average, but yeah. He came up and played well. Now what you have to worry about with him is that there's tape on him. Batters can adjust. Then he has to adjust to what the batters are doing. It's going to be a whole dance with Ian Anderson. For him to come in and look like he did at the end of last season and for the full season when he got called up, again, I think it's unsustainable, but if you can keep him, you know, between a 3 and 4 ERA, then you've got a winner there for who should be what your fourth in the rotation, third or fourth, depending on Soroka, I would say. So I like him. I think that the names, although aren't huge for this huge yet for the starting rotation for the Braves, I think all the pieces are there and that they can get it done to help the Braves out with what they need desperately with pitching.
Would you think he probably won't, teams are so cautious with rookie pitchers, and I get it. I understand it. You know, Javi came on here and we were talking about Paddock, and there's a guy who never even pitches into the seventh inning. They just won't let him off the leash. I know he's gotten hit hard over the past couple of years since he's been in there, but I was looking at Ian Anderson. It's such a long shot. I won't go there for signing. It's not going to happen, but rookie of the year, 9-1. I mean, I don't hate that. I think there's something there because you got a good defense behind you, and you know, in the postseason, it was, you know, he was certainly on display, his numbers and what he could do. 18 and two thirds innings, 11 hits, two earned runs, 24 strikeouts. He faced the Dodgers a couple times.
Yeah.
And I think one outing he had the 5K against them. The walks, yes, an issue. But yeah, four innings, 5K against the Dodgers. He also walked five. But it's going to happen, right? You're going to, you hope that as a young pitcher, you clean it up a bit and the command is, I have faith in him that he's going to be able to figure out the command. He has figured it out with each spot or, you know, stop, I guess, throughout the minors. But you are right about his AAA. When you're walking 6.57 guys per nine in AAA, like, nobody's walking in the minors, only to the bus. Like, guys are free swingers. They're hitting all the time. So that is a little concerning. But also at the same time, swinging strike percentage, absolutely there, and the ground ball rate was there too. So those are two things that I really look for in a pitcher. Before I came on here, I want to ask you about a sleeper, Alex Anthopoulos. I saw him talking to Craig Mish, who I used to work with at Fantasy. He does some great work in the industry, and he asked Alex Anthopoulos, who you know, a guy was like an under the radar Brave, and you know, we mentioned a lot of the guys that we've already talked about, like Pache and Swanson and who else did he mention? He mentioned O'Reilly, but he also wanted to give a lot of love. He's like, Ian Anderson, he's going to be great, but he wanted to give a lot of love to Drew Smyly. And he said he was surprised that there wasn't really a market for, like, not a lot of teams calling Drew Smyly. And I'm paraphrasing here, but he said that it was one of his targets right away to get this guy. And he felt like there was tremendous upside with him. Now, health has been a bit of a concern through the course of his career. Very small sample size like everybody else last year, Jones, but 26 innings, 14.35 K per nine. The ERA was 3.42, but his FIP was 2.01 and his XFIP was 2.56. So a little bit unlucky, even still, Drew Smyly last year. What do you think he can give the Braves?
So Drew Smyly, 32 years old, was great up until I would say 2015 when he dealt with a major injury. Then he just had to work back from that a couple of years. But last year in small sample size, I mean, he looked good. I mean, if you look at what he did just last year, 3.2 ERA, 1.10 whip. And we seems like we kind of got him for a bargain, or at least a fair price for a bounce back candidate. And I mean, it looked like he was shaping back into old Smyly form. He's still a good pitcher. Just the injury derails these pitchers, as we've seen. I mean, we saw it with Folty, the last year and a half, and now he's with the Rangers, which I hate to see because I loved him. He was an all-star, then couldn't get his speed back up, and so the Braves tried to hang on to him but had to let him go, unfortunately. I do hear that he's looking good though. So Drew Smyly, I think he's going to fit into that rotation very well. I mean, just going over it again, we've got Fried, Morton, Soroka, Anderson, Smyly, and Kyle Wright. Like, that's all pretty good. And I would say, I mean, I didn't math it out and look at every starting rotation, but I mean, I would say that's probably in the top 25%. And then if you have the the bats that we do, which are like I said earlier, I think it's the best, you know, bats in the league. And it's not just because I'm a homer, it's because of what they've done on the field. I think we've got a real chance there. So I like him. Drew Smyly's good bargain, good pitcher. Hopefully he just keeps up what he started to do last year. Or even if he strays a little bit, gets over, you know, anything under four ERA should be good. But again, he had 3.24 last season, and that's going to be just fine. I like how Snitaker puts his rosters together. So he doesn't go out and overpay ever. That's not what he's doing. He's bringing people up from the farm. He's getting discounts. And he's just building around his bats. And now the bats are there, and we're just trying to get those discount and up-and-coming pitchers. I like
that. That's what I think is the difference between the Braves and the Mets, and they're both similar odds to win the World Series. And I think you could maybe make a case for the Mets, at least on paper, but they always have so many issues inside their rotation. Even Carlos Carrasco's got something going on right now too. But the difference to me is those bats, right? And it's proven. And I agree. I don't think you're being a homer at all. I think that they're arguably the best bats in baseball, and they can go toe to toe with the Dodgers. We just saw it. We saw it firsthand last season. If there was one arm, this, you don't have to go into detail here, but if there was one of these arms to maybe show up and give you something this season between Newcomb, Bryce Wilson, and Tuki Toussaint, who would it be? I know Newcomb isn't, he hasn't started in a long time.
Yeah.
Would it be Wilson?
Either him or Nuke.
Yeah.
I mean, Nuke looked bad last year, but he could bounce back. Wilson, you know, I might give him the nod over Nuke, but with both of these guys, I don't really have like a strong take. I don't think it's Tiki, even though he can come in and get good spot starts. He can also come in and just get absolutely crushed too. And I've been watching him for a while. So Wilson, I'll give the edge, but I don't think Nuke's completely out of it. He has a chance to make big improvements this year too.
As an Angels guy, I was thrilled when they drafted him and then they traded him for Andrelton Simmons, who's not with the team anymore. But it turned out to be, I think, a pretty good trade for the Angels, even though Newcomb has done some great stuff at times, man. A couple years ago, he was, when they put him back in the pen, I thought he was terrific. I thought, you know, it was kind of more his jam or his elements, and he shaped up on his command. So we'll get you out of here on this. 91.5, the win total. No. Over, under.
Out of 162 games, that's a lot of wins. That's a lot of wins, but that's, I think it's going to be close, man.
Vegas knows what's going on. Eh? They always speak. The lines are so perfect.
91.5 is a lot.
And the division is a little bit better.
I'll say 92. Yeah. I think the division is a little bit better, but, I don't know, man. For them to like really take a step back, like a lot's going to have to go wrong. Like we think the pitching improved. I think the bats have improved. I'll take the over there. I wouldn't put a lot of money on it, but that might even be the homer in me talking. That's a huge number.
Well, not much of a homer, because you would have easily said over right away when I brought that up to you. I like 11-1 to win the World Series. I had them last year to win the World Series, and I'm going to have them again this year to win the World Series. I definitely lean Braves over the Mets. Jones, appreciate it, man, at Tenacious D Jones. Again, he will be a big part of our MLB DFS package. He's doing great work for us over at FTN. We're going to continue to do these MLB previews. Please rate, review, subscribe, smash the like button. You got a question for Jones or myself about the Atlanta Braves, maybe a keeper early question, anything else, just leave it there in the YouTube section, and I'll circle back a little bit later. From David Jones, myself, Chris Meaney, thanks for taking the time to hang out. We'll talk to you soon.